You're listening to WGXC, Accra, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tamro in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on the final day of the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. The pledge drive has been focused on local music, and we will hear more local music today. Plus, you also hear Philip Grant with the local news, national headlines from the Public News Service, and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. But please make a donation today to keep all that coming your way, and Democracy Now! Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Go to wgxc.org/donate and make a difference in your community today. Thank you.
Connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network.
Wave Farms Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Accra, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Accra broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farms' International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farms Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Alterman of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm, and you've tuned into the WGXC Daily News for Friday, October 13th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Republicans removing Republicans is in the news again. First, 8 ultra-conservative House Republicans voted to vacate Kevin McCarthy from the role of House Speaker. And now Alex Galt at Johnson News Service reports Representative Mark Molinaro and other Republicans want to expel Representative George Santos. The Long Island Republican was charged October 10th with another slate of campaign finance crimes. While House Republicans complained they could not trust McCarthy, Santos is widely considered the most accomplished liar in American politics. On October 11th, Molinaro and 4 other New York House Republicans introduced a resolution to expel Santos from Congress. Molinaro said, quote, George Santos is a liar and a fraud with a growing rap sheet. I have said and continue to say he should resign. Since he won't, I'm supporting a resolution to expel him from Congress, unquote. Representative Elise Stefanik, who backed Santos in his campaign for Congress, is silent so far about expelling the Long Island representative and did not answer a request for a comment. Stefanik represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District and recently moved to Leeds. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Larry Rellison reports for the Times-Union that the National Grid utility is predicting that home heating costs could drop 18.3% this winter compared to last year. The prediction is based on expected weather patterns, wholesale natural gas prices, and other factors. If so, that would mean $143 in savings for an average National Grid customer over the five-month winter period. National Grid officials have bragged about setting aside $6 million to offset bills for low-income families not covered by federal winter heating assistance programs. Melanie Littlejohn, National Grid's New York Vice President for Customer and Community Engagement, said, quote, "While reduced heating cost is certainly welcome news for our customers, we recognize that energy prices can still add to the financial burden for those who are struggling with higher costs at the grocery store, gas pump, and elsewhere," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times-Union. And New York's Foliage Report says local leaves are getting closer to peak colors. The report says, quote, "In Greene County, reports from above 1,200 feet in the town of Windham expect a mix of peak and past peak foliage with at least 90% color change and orange, yellow, brown, green leaves of average brilliance. Some areas still have good color, but some trees, especially maples, have lost lots of leaves. There is less foliage change in the lower elevations, with midpoint to near peak color in the valley, including lots of yellow, while areas along the river are mostly green with some trees just starting to turn. In Albany County, spotters at Thatcher State Park in Voorheesville predict near peak foliage with at least 55% change and varying shades of orange and yellow, plus some browns, reds, and greens. In the Hudson Valley, Columbia County volunteers in Hudson expect near-peak foliage with 60% color change and average to bright shades of gold and yellow, along with some shades of red. Color progression varies throughout Columbia County, with some areas still very green and other parts at peak. In Dutchess County, reports from the town of Beacon expect foliage will be at midpoint of change with 40% transition and some yellows and splashes of red leaves, while spotters in Poughkeepsie predict 40% color change with mostly yellow leaves, plus some reds and oranges shining through," unquote. Go to New York's Foliage Report for more information. And go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 13th. Local early morning temperatures range from 34 degrees in Steventown to 45 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 58 degrees. And as for that foliage out there, after this weekend, Windham and Hunter are donezo as we are passing peak. Kingston area is around 65%. On the other side of the river, things are a bit greener. Hudson down to Poughkeepsie with around 40 to 50% changeover. And you know what? The next changeover is, well, those pretty leaves turn to toothpicks and wet naps all over the road. And they have about the same friction coefficient, so make sure your vehicles are ready for the wet leaves and soon snow on the road. At the very least, check your tires before something spooky happens. Today will be cool and sunny with a high of 61 at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 45 degrees. Then, tomorrow, rain chances enter the area around noon. We will see a high temperature of 56 degrees at 1 p.m., and that will linger through the afternoon. After dark, rain chances for the most part disappear, and we will have a low of 45. Sunday, dry, partly cloudy, with a high of 56. Monday, still cool, coming in at 57 degrees with a slight chance of rain all day. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:43 a.m., low tide at 9:14 a.m., high tide again at 3:09 p.m., then low tide, once again, at 9:33 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 61 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:05 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:01 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be slow at 367 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 15 MHz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening, and the current sunspot number is 126. This has been the Better Weather, and if you think it's cool or hot or whatever weather term the kids prefer these days, the best way to show some love is to head on over to WGXE.org and hit that donate button. Now, how many buttons are you going to hit today that will be that satisfying?
Latest reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you?
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, civil defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival Shelter today.
Was The Doors of Mr. Bones from the 2022 album Floating Ghost Hotel from the Columbia County-based Slink Moss Explosion.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
This country is counting on us to come back together. This House of Representatives needs a speaker, and we need to open up the House again. But clearly, not everybody is there.
Representative Steve Scalise has withdrawn from the race for Speaker of the House, but will remain majority leader. The Louisiana Republican struggled with little room for error. The GOP four-vote margin makes the position of every member crucial, even that of scandal-plagued New York Republican George Santos.
We're going to have to find someone else in leadership that comes forward that's going to be a compromise candidate. But as for me, it's never for Scalise.
Chair of House Foreign Affairs Michael McCaul warns fellow Republicans the politics and disorder around the speaker vacancy is a dangerous game that tells adversaries democracy doesn't work.
So I see a lot of threats out there, but one of the biggest threats I see is in that room, because we can't unify as a conference and put a speaker in the chair to govern.
McCaul is pushing an aid package for Israel, but says his hands are tied. Nothing can pass the House until a new speaker is chosen. Some lawmakers are now pushing for acting Speaker Patrick McHenry to keep the job temporarily, with another government shutdown fight probable next month. Some progressives are getting pushback over their responses to the Hamas attacks. Democratic Representatives Rashida Tlaib and Cori Bush are calling for an end to all Israel aid. Democratic Maryland centrist Denny Hoyer says he doesn't agree, but also says people who call Tlaib a terrorist for displaying a Palestinian flag are wrong.
I disagree with some of her comments. She lamented the death on both sides, and I think she condemned, I don't have her statement right in front of me, but she condemned terrorist activity.
The White House says so far about 30 Americans have died in the war. Democratic New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez faces another serious criminal charge, an accusation he acted as an unregistered foreign agent for Egypt. Back in 2019, Menendez accused former President Donald Trump of being a foreign agent for Russia.
They deserve to know if Donald Trump is wittingly or unwittingly an agent for the Russian Federation.
In a Florida campaign speech, Trump expressed frustration with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Trump even praised the Iran-backed group Hezbollah, calling them very smart after they fired an anti-tank missile at the Israeli army. Former Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney responded on social media asking Republicans if they would actually nominate someone that dangerous for president. A new $6.4 billion bond issue in California will fund thousands of behavioral health treatment beds and tens of thousands of outpatient slots. Governor Gavin Newsom says it'll modernize their mental health and substance use treatment.
Society becomes how we behave. We have a responsibility to shift this paradigm.
Finally, the Social Security Administration says beneficiaries will get a 3.2% bump in their checks next year to help buying power keep up with inflation. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments Wednesday on a South Carolina racial gerrymandering case we followed closely. Justices who voted to overturn the maps in Alabama weren't as ready to throw the flag this time. October 11th, justices were supposed to consider arguments on whether the appeals court made a mistake when it rejected South Carolina's congressional voting district maps in January. South Carolina's legislature split Charleston by moving 30,000 residents from 11 of 12 of the highest concentrations of black voters into another district. In the words of the lower court, bleaching Congressional District 1. Conservative justices seem not to look for errors, but rather were spoiling for a fight on the merits of the case, despite the lower court having weighed testimony from 42 witnesses and considered 652 exhibits. The South Carolina legislature freely admits that it gerrymandered for partisan advantage, but disputes that it did so for racial discrimination reasons. Seeming to agree, Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Coney Barrett, Alito, and Gorsuch cited a lack of evidence of racial gerrymandering. Roberts cited not meeting the alternative map requirement showing how districts should be drawn. Justice Kagan argued that no such requirement exists. A ruling is pending, but it now seems clear that the Alabama Milligan decision was a narrower decision than democracy advocates had hoped. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From the 2022 album warping all by yourself. This is raw food from Wet Tuna in Brattleboro.
Go out and grow it.
You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM.
From NPR News,
Rick Carr reports.
A few weekends ago, dozens of people came to downtown Hudson, New York to build a new community radio station. They cut lumber for studio tables and soundproofing baffles. They screwed together racks to hold broadcasting equipment. And they learned the best way to strip the insulation off of audio cables.
What I do is I just score the edge of the rubber and then sort of twist it back and forth.
They were all volunteers working to get WGXC on the air. The station's filling a void for nearly 75,000 people in Columbia and Greene counties. Greene County legislator Bill Lawrence says the area used to have a commercial radio station that actually reported local news.
Back when I first became a legislator in the early 80s, we had great reporting, investigative reporting, actually, and I thought they did a good job of doing both sides of a story. We lost it. They went regional, and we've sort of lost that local input.
Long story short, San Antonio-based Clear Channel Communications bought the station and cut local programming. Lawrence has volunteered as a co-host of the new station's morning show. And in case you're thinking he's some kind of crunchy, touchy-feely hippie, he's a Republican. WGXC's general manager, Galen Joseph Hunter, is not. And she says that's the point.
He and I couldn't disagree more politically, but he approaches his point of view with respect for others and with humor, and hopefully everyone on the station will have those qualities.
Joseph Hunter admits that perfect bipartisan cooperation on the air may be a bit of a utopian dream. But the idea that neighbors can get along if they're all on the air together is at the heart of the push for more community radio in the U.S. Supporters of WGXC in Hudson, New York say that's what they want from their community radio station.
10, 9,
after they built the station studio, they counted down to the moment when it hit the airwaves.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's up to the U.S. Senate to decide whether or not other community stations can throw the switches on their transmitters.
Transmission!
Drunk, traveling along.
Host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
It's Thursday, October 12, 2023.
If our planet keeps warming, parts of it will become unlivable.
New study warns mankind in big trouble without climate action.
The basis of the investigation is that this was deliberate.
Damage to an undersea gas pipeline in Europe looks like sabotage. Plus, European Union launches world's first carbon border tax.
So there's that. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent Green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Last week when I was testifying in Congress, hearing a lot about EVs, I feel like it's 2005 and I'm meeting people from the Rotary Phone Society.
I wonder which people Pete Buttigieg was talking about in Congress. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, two storms in 2 days slamming into the Pacific coast of Mexico. Nothing to see here, nothing to worry about, right?
Well, you know, the hits just keep on coming. Uh-huh. Those two storms in 2 days were fueled by record warm ocean waters. Tropical storm Max spun up in 1 day and then hit Acapulco on Monday. The second storm, Hurricane Lydia, rapidly intensified right before landfall from a Category 1 to a dangerous Category 4 storm in just 10 hours before crashing into Puerto Vallarta, giving communities no time to prepare.
We're seeing a lot of this lately, aren't we?
Yep. Lydia is the third strongest hurricane in history to hit Mexico's Pacific coast, and a growing body of evidence links the increase in rapid intensification of storms to man-made global warming that is heating up the oceans.
You don't say.
In South America, scientists at the World Weather Attribution Network announced that the recent prolonged record-shattering heat wave that saw temperatures soar above 100 degrees in late winter would have been virtually impossible in a world without human-caused climate change, which made the persistent heat much hotter and at least 100 times more likely. Mm. Meanwhile, a new study warns that billions of people could struggle to survive prolonged periods of deadly, intense heat and humidity within this century in some of the world's largest cities, straining emergency services and potentially acting as a trigger for mass climate migration. The study projects the impacts will hit hardest in India, the Middle East, and major cities around the world. At 2 degrees Celsius of warming above pre-industrial levels, nearly a billion people would experience deadly heat at least 1 week per year. Mm. As the Weather Channel explained, it's even worse than that.
If no climate action is taken, the researchers said that the planet is expected to warm by 5.4 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the century. At that point, large swaths of the U.S. would see extended periods of uninhabitable temperatures from Florida to New York, and Houston to Chicago.
At this rate, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to survive the 6 minutes of this Green News report.
Well, in the geopolitics of energy, the war between Israel and Hamas has triggered a sharp, nearly 30% spike this week in natural gas prices in Europe after Israel ordered the shutdown of an offshore natural gas facility in the Mediterranean. In Finland, Prime Minister Petteri Orpo announced this week that a natural gas pipeline connected with Estonia in the Baltic Sea has apparently been sabotaged. Mm. According to a preliminary investigation, significant damage to both the gas pipeline and an undersea communications cable was, quote, deliberate. Mm. Some experts suspect Russia is involved as an intimidation strategy going into winter in the wake of Finland joining NATO earlier this year. Mm. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg cautioned,
if it is proven to be a deliberate attack on NATO critical infrastructure, then this will be, of course, serious, but it will also be met by a united and determined response from NATO.
Oh, great.
Yep. Finally, some really big news. The European Union has kicked off the initial phase of its carbon border tax, a tax on imported carbon-intensive products like cement, steel, and fertilizer. The tax prevents polluting industries in countries with lax emission standards from undercutting European manufacturers that comply with EU emissions regulations. And it could have major ripple effects across global markets, pushing industries to clean up their supply chains and incentivizing other countries to launch their own carbon taxes so that they can reap the benefits of taxing carbon rather than letting that money escape to the EU.
So instead of European companies going elsewhere to buy stuff because it's cheaper, because it avoids Europeans' carbon tax, now they'll have to pay a carbon tax essentially on the imported concrete and steel as well.
Yep.
Got it. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
From Catskill, here is Ross Goldstein next on WGXC with the song The Blue Desert from the 2021 album Chutes and Ladders.
Thank you. night. Oh, Lord, put me in a misery bed. What did I do? What God said? Oh, Lord, who put me in the misery bed? The pillows, the razor, the mattress on fire, laying in the misery bed. Thrashed like a bug, impaled on the wire, laying in the misery bed. Lord, who put me in the misery bed? Oh, Lord, who put me in the misery bed? What did I do? What God said? In a misery bed. There's a nasty, nasty, nasty flu laying in the misery bed. Might take me and might take you laying in the misery bed. Gobbles up your ears, then ask for more laying in the misery bed. You sweat worry about his knock at the door, laying in the misery bed. Lord, who put me in the misery bed? Oh, Lord, who put me in the misery bed? What did I do? What God said? Oh Lord, who put me in the misery bed? Oh Lord.
That was Misery Bed, the lead-off track on the 2022 album Don't Get Dead, Pandemic Folk Songs, from the Cornelius Eadie Trio. Cornelius Eadie is an internationally known poet who has a second home in Accra. That was Block Party from the 2022 album Nevertheless from the group Nelson Esposito Quintana. That's Todd Nelson on guitar and synth, Tal Esposito on bass, and Manuel Quintana from Ulster County on drums and percussion. Here's Bobby Previtt with Charlie Hunter from the 2015 We Two Kings album with O Come All Ye Faithful.
Make the world choose their fate. So make the world lose their faith.